Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, the number one podcast in the world for DJs, brought to you by DJ Double and Stylus.
Lock in every week to Hills discussing the hottest topics from the DJ world, controversial opinions, and tips and advice for DJs coming up in the club scene.
Follow us on Spotify,
Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music
to listen to conversations for the DJs
by the DJs. Blah!
It's been a very weird start to the year for me because usually I'm flat out, you know, on the resident, when you do the resident DJ thing.
Yeah.
I have like four or five residencies a week.
Yeah.
And even from January.
And you've been doing that for years as well. It's not even like we're talking over a decade of residencies, right?
Yes. Yeah. Basically.
Consistently.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Apart from the break in COVID.
Yeah.
You've been ongoing.
That's it. And that was my role. I was the resident DJ. Do you know what I mean? That was kind of where I was. And obviously, after doing the tour last year, fell back on some of the residencies. Some obviously weren't happy about me touring. So those relationships came to an end. Other ones, I became more selective. So I was like, dropped out certain things that weren't suitable for where I was going anymore.
Yeah.
But it's weird because, excuse me. Coming into this January, outside of the lockdowns, this is the quietest January I've ever had. And it's weird because for the rest of the year, looking at the diary, I know things are good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah,
I'm a worker. So it's like, even though financially, I know there's no panic. You know, as a DJ, if bookings drop off, it can be a scary time for the finances and stuff.
But yeah, exactly.
I know everything's okay. Show season hasn't started yet. Do you know what I mean? And even where I'm at the position now of being booked as a guest DJ, clubs and events, they're not really booking guest DJs like that for January, February.
Yeah, they're not.
That's when the residents are constantly in circulation and stuff. So it's weird start to the year. I'm not going to lie, but loading. I think it's one of them ones where I feel like I should probably enjoy the time off.
Yeah.
Because when I look at the amount of airports we're going to be running through and all the different shows and stuff that we have got locked in for the year, it's
And is there time for Potter as well? Because you're doing Potter Paper and
RDs and Potters. Absolutely no doubt that Potter will be on the festivals this year.
So what happens if there is like a clash between RD and Potter in terms of the festival booking? Say ones that leads. Like Leeds and Reading, for example.
That is a very complicated question to ask. Because it's one of them ones where I'm like, I have to just cross that bridge when I come to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And see how expensive it is to charter them private jets, bro. Because as long as the stage time isn't the exact same time, then where there's a will, there's a way.
There's a way. That's
you know what I mean?
That's it.
So, yeah. But it's interesting time, man. Transitioning from doing residencies to being a tour DJ and like an artist DJ.
Yeah.
When I've done it in the past, it's always kind of the two have just coexisted. But now with the extensive diary and the insane amount of shows, especially last year, like it was impossible for the two to coexist. So it was kind of like flipping a switch. It was like you have to change lanes straight away. Boom.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like changing jobs.
Yeah.
I feel like I've changed my job.
Yeah, you have.
You know what I mean? And especially with the artist shows as well. So with my DJ sets, I make sure there's a lot of creativity, wordplay, tricks, scratching, live blending and all the mashups and stuff like this, all live, doing the most basically, just to keep myself engaged.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with the artist shows, there's limited creativity because it's about the artist. This ain't the DJ Double show when I'm on the stage with RD or Potter.
Yeah.
I'm there making sure that their show is the best it can possibly be.
That's it.
So, yeah. But it's cool, man. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. And I've said before on the podcast, like, I enjoy being on the road with other people.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's no longer them two-hour lonely drives to the club and then driving home at 4 a.m. by myself. No, I'm driving to the meeting point and I'm jumping on a tour bus and getting driven somewhere and we're having banter on the bus and it's all, it's good vibes, man. Proper
wicked.
Good fun.
Wicked. I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Thank you.
Really
bro.
Good look.
It's good times. Really good. It's good times. Anyway, thank you for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
My good friend, DJ Larizal, thank you for coming on, bro. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. This has been long overdue.
For anybody that doesn't know our history, we did, we co-hosted the greatest radio show known to UK radio, basically.
And that's a fair assessment. Yep.
That's such a sick show, bro. Do you know what? I'm so sad like, obviously politics at the station kind of pulled the plug on everything that was happening at that particular station. But I feel like that show, where we were, big ups to Ricky as well. There was three of us that did it together. Yeah. And the Trendsetters show, it really, really was setting trends. Like, what year were we doing that?
That started 2010.
But do you know what's mad is like, so for anyone that didn't listen to that show and wasn't aware of the dynamics, there was the three of us and we all had different strengths, basically, musically. And we all, every week, the three of us would be like, right, these are going to be the newest songs that are coming up and the newest trends in music and stuff. And I feel that we did a fucking excellent job with that show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it really was like, we really were at a point where we were predicting trends in UK music.
We were. And there was nothing else like that out there. That was as like diverse as our show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, because we'd go from, you know, you doing, you know, hip hop, R&B, me doing like the Afrobeat thing, Ricky doing, you know, the house, the deep house stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful synergy.
It is crazy, really, bro. And yeah, it was amazing. But the thing is as well, the reason I'm telling this part of it is because, so 20, shit, was it really 2010 that we started that?
2010, mate. 12 years ago.
Mate. That really doesn't feel like that long ago. That's actually quite scary. But the thing is, it's like you said, like when we were bringing the different sounds and the different music into the show, you back then you were bringing Afrobeats.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was still quite new then.
In this part of the planet, I'd say definitely very new. Not like far from mainstream. I think probably the only Afrobeat song I remember really 100% I can say was getting played in clubs and parties and stuff back then was Magic System.
Around then, Fuse had just sort of started blowing with his Azonto and Antenna and those tunes and what's his name? His name's escaped me. His track was Oliver Twist.
The Bange,
that's it.
The Bange, yeah.
Those tunes have started blowing. But in the show, what we were trying to, from my aspect, was trying to bring like sort of the newer stuff. You know, the underground tracks from the likes of Wizkid, Burna Boy, those stuff. Because they started kicking on around that time as well, but they weren't as big as obviously they are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Wizkid had just about released his first album, if I wasn't mistaken, with tracks like Don't Dull and Paco Rumor and tracks like that off his very first album. And Burna Boy was very much in the underground. I mean, he was very London based, releasing Nigerian Afro pop music.
Yeah.
And he had a very core fan base. So not many people knew about him then. So it was great to bring his kind of tracks in. And, you know, I remember we interviewed Ice Prince, who's another artist.
That's right. Yeah.
Who had a, you know, big track at the time called Oleku.
Rhythm, mate, tune.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very fresh, very new, and we were really just trying to add that on top of everything else we're giving to the show from UK music, US music, you know, European house music. Yeah, the show was sick, man.
It was.
The show was sick. It was sick. And it's a shame, because imagine where we'd be now, double.
Oh, mate, you know what? It's one of them things where it's like, yeah, I just think the heights that show could have gone to. And obviously, we only stopped because of the radio station basically pulling the plug on all of the shows, not ours, but every show got pulled. Like, but yeah, I sometimes sit and think like, man, that, especially with the way social media skied off certain content as well, and with the contacts and the content that collectively we brought to that, like, I struggle to think of a collective that had the potential that show had, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Sorry, I know. I
think of one.
I don't know. Maybe like it might be an obvious comparison, but it for me it kind of felt like the new Rampage. But and obviously, absolutely no disrespect to Rampage by saying that. Do you know what I mean? But it was like the next generation Rampage, I should say.
Rampage.
No one can replace.
No one can replace Rampage.
You know what I mean? Like. Yeah, crazy, man. The potential behind that show was amazing. But it was good because, like I say, it was, for me, you've always been someone on African music. Do you know what I mean? And like the music, even the early UK stuff that was kind of taken influence from Africa, like you say, with Fuse. I think it was because of you I heard of Fuse and Mr. Silver. And you know what I mean, there's other artists as well that you brought to the table and you're like, yeah, these guys are going to have a... They didn't even have a buzz then. But it's like, these guys are going to have a buzz. And then, like,
lo and behold,
3-4 months later, okay, other people start talking about them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back then, like, how were you plugging into the African music like that?
What were the main platforms back then? I mean, I was learning a lot of it through the club scene.
Right.
I was booked for... I'd say 2008, 2009, I was booked at a lot of these like Nigerian parties. So like I would always go early, listen to other DJs and listen to the tracks they were playing.
Right.
And essentially like, you know, teeth the tracks off them essentially.
Yeah,
ask what track was that, you know, play, you know, take it, go back home, listen to it, add it to my playlist. And it was such a hub of, is different because it was like as soon as a new Nigerian Afrobeat track dropped, you'd be hearing it at these clubs, these events. And there were like clubs around London, and then there were these Nigerian promoters. One of them is really big now that a lot of people probably know, Smade, who does obviously Afro Nation.
It's Afro Nation, isn't it? Yeah.
Yam Carnival in Clapham Common on Carnival weekend and stuff. It was him, it was promoters like Michael, Bad Guy Toba, and a few others. But they'll do these events around, they'll use some venues in like Mayfair and stuff, but their clientele that came were all about the hard-hitting Nigerian music that was popping off in Nigeria at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go to a lot of these events, you know, learn the sounds that were blowing up and whatnot. So I learned a lot about Nigerian artists then, in particular, and obviously, being of a Ghanaian background, I already knew what was sort of happening in Ghana as well, going back, you know, semi-regularly at the time as well, going out there, learning the tracks that were being played there as well. And then just, you know, bringing all that to the table and then also experimenting in a few of those tracks in these Nigerian club sets as well, see how the reaction was and stuff as well. And then, you know, it all sort of grew from there.
As an outsider around that time, it seemed like, kind of on like a friendly sort of banter tip, but there was a lot of like rivalry between Ghanaian and Nigerian music at the time.
Oh, big time.
Was it a case?
I mean, it's still going. It's still ongoing to this day.
Is it a case, or was it a case at least, of like, if you're playing at a Nigeria party, you can't play Ghanaian music? Or
oh, no, it wasn't that kind of like. It was more like they didn't really know the Ghanaian tracks.
Right, okay. So as a DJ, you're kind of hesitant to, because the Nigerian people, they're not really going to vibe to it because they don't know it.
Yeah. That was it, basically. There's just always that, there's always been that friendly rivalry for as long as I can remember between Nigerians and Ghanaians. And it's historical based on, I don't know the full ins and outs on it, but apparently there was a time when Nigerians were in Ghana and like Ghanaians kicked them out or something. I don't know the full ins and outs, but sort of stemmed from there. And there's always been this rivalry between who makes the better jollof rice. Is it Ghanaian jollof and all of that stuff? So, I mean, I have no qualms against, I love Nigerian people and their culture. And I mean, they've done a lot for the Afrobeat scene worldwide now.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest artists in the world in Afrobeat are Nigerian.
And you know what? It's not actually off stretch to say some of the biggest artists in the world, full stop.
Are coming
out of Nigeria. Do you know what I mean?
Using
Wizkid and Burna Boy as two examples. They're not just the powerhouses in African music. Like they're really transcending to like actually just being international stars.
That's crazy. It. You know, they're winning Grammys and all sorts now.
Yeah.
Fun.
mad, man. Yeah, just because it's a Wednesday. Why not? Like, this ain't special. It's Wednesday and I just won a Grammy. Boom.
Cash.
Yeah. Cash. It's crazy because, like, I play so much Afrobeats in my set. Like, it's, and compared to, like, say, 5 years ago when it would be like a little section, probably. Like, just a little dip in and out, like a couple ones that really translated to the clubs here. But now, There's like a lot of music.
There is. You can have whole sets of Afrobeats now. Yeah. You can play a whole hour.
Comfortably.
Know, set. Yeah.
But the thing is as well, it doesn't even have to be like an African crowd. It's at a point now where really I could do a predominantly white club and still shell with Afrobeats and keep it vibey. Like, it's really kind of crossed over that far. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, it's transcended to pop music now.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, even I don't know how well it did in the end, but, you know, the recent release by Fireboy DML and Ed Sheeran in Peru, that remix.
Yeah.
You know, first track that's probably come as close as it has to number one. I don't know if it made it, to be fair. I know it was number four at one point, and it was doing really well, but I don't know if it, you know, but it goes to show, you know, how far the sound has come.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to actually look that up right now because... there was talk basically of like, yeah, this really could get to number one.
Yeah.
No, so it didn't get to number one. Okay, so it peaked at number two.
Number two, okay.
That's massive, bro. Like,
that's huge.
That really is massive. Eight weeks in the charts and it peaked at number two.
Wow.
Fireboy DML as well. It's not even like it was a WizKid or a Burna.
Exactly.
And I mean, obviously, like, okay, yeah, Ed Sheeran doing it definitely helped the numbers. Ed Sheeran's streaming figures are ridiculous. So that's clearly the catalyst to getting it up there. But nonetheless, like, what Ed Sheeran, in fact, actually, let me ask you, how do you feel about what Ed Sheeran did on the track?
I have no qualms. I know there's been a lot of a lot of people that have been feeling it and whatnot, and then this thing is sort of like culture vulturing and whatnot. But the thing with Ed is he's always been, you know, genuine. He's always been into black culture, black music before he got big.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that his busking days, he even went to one of my local gyms with a mutual friend. You know XO, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know XO, they're good friends as well, isn't it?
They're good friends. And he would just come and chill in our rubbish little gym that we used to go to in Mitcham, you know. And this was when he was starting to actually blow, actually. He's just always been down with it. And even with this track Peru, apparently he was just listening to it repeatedly nonstop, like annoying his wife and everything with it. Just really loved the song, like genuinely. It's not just a play to just, I don't know, tap into the Afrobeat market or whatnot. He genuinely likes the song. And I remember a few years ago he went to Ghana. I think as part of his time out that he does, he likes to do where he shuts himself from social media for like a year or whatever. Mm-hmm. He went to Ghana for like months to stay with Fuse, and stayed at Fuse's house.
Went around
with Fuse, learned, you know, about the Ghanaian culture. They released like a couple of tracks together and stuff. So it's not like the first time either. And it's not just Afrobeat. He's, you know, done drill music. He's, you know, he just loves music. You just tell.
Yeah. Didn't he learn to speak Tree as well?
Exactly. And he sang one of his songs
in
Tree.
I was going to say, yeah, one of his songs is in Tree as well. So it's it's not culture vulture just because he's actually immersed himself in the culture. He's not climbing on. And this is the thing, like, I think he's not climbing on to make himself bigger.
Yeah.
That for me would be the definition of a culture vulture. Like,
Do
you know what I mean? Oh, okay, Afrobeats is skying off right now, so I'm going to go and make an Afrobeat song just because that's the popular thing. It's like, Ed Sheeran doesn't have to do Afrobeats to make himself on. He's on. He's actually really on. Elevating that because now, through doing this song, he's brought it to someone like my mum, for example, who's a huge Ed Sheeran fan, is now listening to Afrobeats because she's like, oh, I like this. Who's Fireboy DML? What other songs has he got? And she's now discovering him. Do you know what I mean? So it's that's just one example. But like, I don't know. I like what he did. I do prefer the original. And in the clubs and stuff, I'll play the original.
The original, yeah.
I'm not mad at what Ed Sheeran did on it. Like, I like it. It wasn't like, oh, bruv, this is so far removed. Like, nah, I think he understood the assignment. That's a good way to put it, right?
Yeah. I think he did. But yeah, like you, I played original still, to be fair.
It's crazy though. So number two in like the official English charts.
And crazy. It's
an Afrobeats record.
Crazy. Well, who was it beaten by? Do you know? Was it that? I remember when I looked, there was a Disney song or something at number one.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. From me. I'm not sure. Right. I don't really, unless I have like an interest because someone I'm involved with is charting, I don't really look at the charts like that, to be entirely honest with you. I kind of stay away from like the commercial side of music, which is weird because with drill crossing over and charting and rap crossing over and charting and now Afrobeats crossing over and charting, I should now be more interested. But then I see stuff like angry indie band singing their weird rock songs. Like, I don't know what that stuff is. I have no interest in looking at this list anymore because I don't know what the is. You know what I mean? The thing I love about Peru is, correct me if I'm wrong, everything has seemed very, very organic. It hasn't come from a TikTok trend, or it hasn't been like, it's not been driven really by social media.
No.
It literally is just doing its thing because it's a really great song.
Simple as that. Yeah. And I think it was just one of the songs on one of his EPs he just dropped. He dropped, I think, maybe over lockdown, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, it just took off. I heard it in the clubs and I was like, what is this?
So someone got there before you, yeah?
I know. What is this track? I was like, yo, I need to, And then, I just started rinsing it. And it's just such a beautiful sing-along song in a club.
Funnily enough, probably one of the biggest songs last year was Essence. I'm not just talking about Afrobeats now either. I'm talking about, this was a huge crossover record. Essence is another one. You can play that in a predominantly white club and it goes off. And even more historically, in fact, actually, you can give an opinion on this. Would you class Drake One Dance as Afrobeats?
One Dance, no.
Where would you put it?
One Dance is pop, really. And if anything, it has the drum patterns of like, I've got the right tune in my head, haven't I? Yeah, it's like reggaeton-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, it has, definitely has.
Reggaeton drum pattern.
Do you know what? Drake is so smart with that record, bruv. And I'm just thinking about it now. It's got like a reggaeton drum pattern. There's a WizKid sample in there.
Yeah.
Popcorn's put a voice note in there. Drake's obviously doing his thing. So it's like R&B, Afrobeat, reggaeton, bashment, funky pop.
All in a record.
In one song. That is what an amazing formula, which obviously that is clearly why that song just happens to be like one of the biggest streaming songs in the world ever. And at the time broke like every record. I mean, I feel like streaming wasn't like the thing back then.
Yeah.
But he was just breaking all sorts of records, but it's because he kind of hit every single demographic in the world. But I have One Dance. Funnily enough, I have it in my Afrobeats crate.
Do you?
I also have it in my dancehall crate, and I also have it in my hip-hop R&B crate. These are club crates in my Serato. And the reason is because as a multi-genre DJ, there's certain, I call them access points or like bridges where everything for me has to make sense. It has to flow.
Yeah.
I can't just go from playing a drill thing is like a WizKid song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me. The vibe is too switchy. So it's got, there has to be like a transition. And One Dance for me is a great transition either to or from Afrobeats into R&B or Afro.
Yeah.
Even like with like the Afro Swing UK stuff. One Dance is a great bridge because of the tempo there. You can go from Afro Swing, One Dance, then into Afro. I mean, you can kind of do Afro Swing into Afro Beats.
Into Afro Beat,
obviously, there's no rules, but I'm just thinking in terms of like my OCD brain cells and how
how they
they restrict me as a DJ. Like some DJs can just go bang, 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 and just drop all over the place, and it fucking works for them, and it's amazing. But I can't do that. It's a struggle, and it has to flow. But one dance is definitely like an access point song where you can kind of skip to different things. It's not Afrobeats, but I don't think it's not a world away from Afrobeats.
Again,
like with Essence last year, definitely an Afrobeat song.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the biggest songs of the year.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Peru is another one of these moments where it's like, Peru is like, it's like a one dance. It's a song that now is not going to, it's not going to get played out. Essence, it's not going to get played out. Like it's going to be, these are milestone songs that are going to be around for a very long time, if not forever.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I agree. Classics. Yeah. Modern day classics. Isn't it? Exactly what both of those are.
Do you have a moment or like a memory? I mean, I guess it's probably for you. It's when you said that you heard it in the club and you were like, what was this? Do you have a moment that's attached to that song?
When was it? There's been a few moments. I can't think of the exact one. There was a moment that I remember thinking, oh my God, this track is going to do bits like Essence's. I can't remember the rave. But it was quite busy. I think it was about 500 in there, but literally faded a track out at the chorus. They sang it and 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 sang it, brought it back, had to pull it up. I think I pulled it up maybe three times, four times.
Yeah.
And they just kept going because it's quite a short song. When it starts fading out at the end, they just keep singing. And I was just like, Mike, this song is special, man. This song is special. And it's going to do bits. Like you said, it's a timeless track.
Yeah.
Timeless track.
It really is. And again, I love how organic it feels.
Yeah.
Because it really does feel like no one's on it because everyone else is on it. It's just like you hear it and it's like, wow, this is like a really amazing song.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first time I heard it. I don't even remember where I got it from or how it ended up on my computer. Obviously, I've been very slack with new music. I've been downloading. I looked the other day and from mid 2020 to now, I've got like 16,000 new songs in the song folder. And it's like, your facial expression is like, what? What? 16,000. And these are songs that I've collected from record pools or been sent by the artists or the labels. I download everything and listen in my car. And obviously through lockdown, I wasn't driving anywhere. I'm not doing 2 hours because I'll do a 2 hour drive to the club. And that's when I'm listening to all the new music for the week.
Yeah.
But now you've got like 60 weeks in a row where I'm not doing all these 2 hour drives.
Yeah.
There's 10, 12, 14 hours worth of music that I'm not listening to in a week.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's this huge, really, really horrendous pile of music, basically, that is just haven't processed. But I'll do a search on my laptop and I've got these bangers. Do you know what I mean? I hear, oh, okay, what's this? Let me see if I've got it. Boom. And it's there. Okay, cool. Boom. Yeah. That's going in my crates. I don't remember the first time I heard Peru or what made me even think about searching to see if I had it, but I had it. The first version I heard was a remix with Buju.
Of Peru.
I don't know. I don't think it's an official remix. I think it's just one of these ones where an artist just drops on.
That's
the first version I have. And so that was the version I was playing. And I'm like, cool, you know what? And it's just the second half, it's just Buju on there, like just doing his thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then when obviously Peru started really skying off, I searched and then I've got the actual normal version. And then although, did I have the normal version? No, I don't think I did. So actually, I went on Amazon Music. That's where I pretty much buy all my music from. I went on Amazon Music and bought it. I bought the normal version of Peru.
The normal version, yeah.
But my moment of the song that I definitely, when I think of Peru, I think of this moment. I was DJing in Nike Town and it was like, I think it was like November or early December. It was around that time. When the song was bubbling, but it wasn't the mammoth song that it was now.
Yeah.
And I was just playing around with it, you know, just like throwing little acapellas over the instrumental and stuff and just playing around with it. And then let the original play. And there was these two girls, they were loving the song like it was in a little rave. Singing, really? They're just in the shop shopping, singing their hearts out to it, bro. And I mean, I'm just in the shop and they're just over there singing their hearts out. And I'm just like, oh, sick. This is like quite, like, I was playing it because I'm in there, I'm DJing for 5 or 6 hours or however long the set was. And I'm just playing music that I like to hear. And that was a song I like to listen to. So I'm like, yeah, cool, I'm just going to play this one. And, whoa, someone else is singing. Like, but they're not just like, oh, yeah, I like this one. They love this song. Do you know what I mean? that's my moment for me when I think about Peru. I think, that's where it takes me back to. Do you know what I mean? That
little,
it's quite fun.
That's a moment, man.
Yeah.
That's a moment.
So this is a beautiful segue as well, because when I'm playing in Nighttown, I like to play amateur piano. I do, obviously, I skip across all the genres and everything, but then I'm doing little amateur piano sets and chucking it in there and stuff. And that is a phenomenon and a genre that is just skying off at the moment. Like, the popularity is going
it's
insane.
It's really blowing, man. I mean, I remember when I first came across it, it was actually in lockdown that I really got into it. I've always been a supporter of African house music from way back in 2008 when Black Coffee was ringing off with Busey and Turn Me On and
Tune.
That's all of that stuff.
And
that
was house tunes
of all time. Yeah, that's still a classic, that one. And that, funnily enough, that was around the UK funk era at this in the UK at that point as well. And African house music since then has just essentially evolved into different varying sounds, because in South Africa, there are different parts that have, you know, that come up with the various sounds. Like, there's the Afro deep sound, which is obviously Black Coffee. There was a moment, I think maybe 2015 onwards, was when like that gom sound came. And I think that's from, I don't know which part of South Africa specifically, but then amapiano apparently actually started in like 2012, but only really gained its popularity, I'd say, from 2019 onwards.
And
that was from like, and that came about through the townships of like Johannesburg areas and whatnot. And there's still like debate as to who came up with the sound and the people that started it. I think it's now been left as Eberfar Souls. And funnily enough, they were the producers / DJs that I was, the tracks that I was sort of first initially listening to when I first sort of got into it. And the popularity probably started 2019, even though the sound was around since 2012, apparently. I only got into it, say, early 2020 when lockdown happened. And I spent a lot of time at home and whatnot. And I thought, oh, I'm really liking this sound. And then everyone had started the Insta Lives and stuff. So I was like, okay, let me do Insta Live showcasing this new South African house sound. And then, as I was saying, MFR Souls was some of the new producers, the first producers' stuff that I was hearing. And then the producer that really got me into it, I'd say, was Vigro Deep.
Right, okay.
His sound was like, I mean, generally, amapiano is a lot of jazz mixed with deep house, a lot of percussion, and, you know, more now, that what's more popular now within amapiano is that log drum bass line. apparently the producer that came up with that was MDU AKTRP, that's his name. He started adding these bass lines into his amapiano, because normally it's quite loungy, it's quite like chilled house music almost. With a lot of pianos, hence the term amapiano, which is essentially Zulu translation, South African Zulu translation for the pianos.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of it is piano focused with jazz percussions, and then there's this bass lines added as well. So Vigro Deep was the one that had the most interesting bass line for me, and that made me fall in love with the sound, basically. And also around that time was when I wanted to start making music, and I've been procrastinating for years and years and years on wanting to do that, because that was a natural progression for me as a DJ. I always wanted to start making music. And lockdown presented a unique opportunity. There's, you know, no bookings happening. I was at home a lot. I was like, now's the time. Let me get into this. So Amapiano Piano was new and fresh. I was playing it. I was enjoying it. I was like, okay, let me start there with the music making side of it and give it my own spin, give it a UK flavor almost. Because obviously I came, I'd say, as a DJ to prominence in the UK funky scene.
Right, okay,
playing a lot of UK funk. I mean, I'm multi-genre, but UK funky was where I felt, you know, sort of amplified my name a bit. In the scene, as it were. So I wanted to give that kind of flavor in with this new African Amapiano vibe and give it my own spin in my production. So start releasing a bit of music as well myself. And yeah, I mean, the sound Amapiano has just grown since then. There's so many producers now, so many new producers that I, you know, got to learn and know about through it, like DJ Mafarisa, Cabs of the Small, Vigra Deep, like I mentioned. And yeah, it just seems like I'm still learning now as well. There's so many producers. And I'd say platforms like Spotify and the playlist they have, the main one being Amapiano Grooves. I'm listening to that all the time and I'm learning new producers, new styles of Amapiano, and it's just growing. This is really growing. And even the big boys, Wizkid and Burna Boy, they've done Amapiano.
Yeah, Davido, well, Davido has a tune as well. I can't remember who he's on it with, but
Davido, yeah, Davido with Focalistic. Yeah, Champion Sound, that one.
Champion Sound, that's the
a big one,
one
as well. Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. And it's ringing. It's ringing. Really ringing.
Yeah, there's some proper... It's funny because it's like, for me, I've almost tried to force it into some of my club sets. And I'm really finding like it's not working. It's not working in the club.
Whether it's very niche.
It's still very, very specialist. So I think it hasn't quite crossed over to club land yet, the way that Afrobeats for example. I feel like 10 years ago, you can't play Peru in a club 10 years ago. It's not going off. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I feel like, yeah, the Amapiano for me, in my the people that I'm playing to and in my club sets, for example, is not working. I want it to.
Yeah.
It's bad because the only one, the only one that's working in it. The only one, if I tell you, the only one that's working in the clubs is the TikTok one.
That's
even then, it's just that one line. That's the one line. As soon as that's done, everyone's like, oh, right, okay, yeah, then next song. Next song, please.
Next song. Yeah.
But I use that. I use that as a segue. That for me is the access point into Amapiano, and I'm trying to play like one or two songs just to get the sound into the sets. And then, luckily, it's still because of the tempo of it. It's still around the tempo of a lot of the popular Afrobeats.
Yeah.
So you can just flex in, just dip into it, and then dip straight back out without it being too much of a drastic change. But yeah, I'm really feeling like that. The Amapiano songs I'm playing, which I would consider the big ones, like the obvious ones that you would play, the kind of two or three absolute essential ones, they're not translating to the clubs at the moment. So it's
really, I even think it'll still take time.
Yeah, it still seems like it's early days over here. Or it definitely seems like it's more like vibe in the car or listen at home type music. Do you know what I mean? Rather than actually try.
Yeah.
I don't really hear it in the radio. I mean, I don't listen to a lot of radio, but I haven't seen a lot of stuff. Is it getting much radio play?
So, tracks like you mentioned, Champion Sound, that's getting heavily played. It seems like the tracks that have, you know, well-known artists like Davido, Burna Boy, Wizkid, those tracks will sort of get played. There was like a... almost like a commercial Amapiano track that came out last year, I think it was, by Tyler.
Okay.
He's almost like an Ariana Grande from South Africa.
Right. What's
her track called? Was getting heavily played. Getting Late.
Right, okay. I don't think I
it's
know
by
that.
Her and the producer. It's by her and the producers called Cool Drink. That got a lot of radio play, actually. I'd say last year. But then I felt like in the Amapiano sets I was playing club wise, it was a bit too commercial for the Amapiano heads, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So like tracks like Champion Sound, I feel like that's like one of the staple Amapiano piano bangers that could potentially cross over, given enough airplay time. I mean, One Extra is heavily supporting it, or was. I don't know how much they're playing it now, but they were when it first dropped, sort of thing. So we'll see. I think the list needs to be more of those collaborations happening, more of those. I don't know if Ed Sheeran did I'm a Piano, it would instantly cross over, let's say.
I was just about to say, do you think it does it need like a Drake or an Ed Sheeran to jump on and elevate it over here? I think so.
Yeah.
The thing is, I feel like obviously in South Africa, when I've looked in and seen like club stuff going on over there, it's massive, it's huge over there.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And it's like the sound, it's like the signature sound right now for over there. So I don't feel like they need Drake or someone to bus it internationally, because I feel like it will just progress how it wants to progress, and if it doesn't, they're good, because they have a sustainable scene over there. Do you know what I mean? In their country, that's their sound. So I don't think they It would be great for it to bust internationally, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like a deprived genre that's not getting any love, but should.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, actually, because South Africans are quite protective over their sound, as it were, especially Amapiano, because there's been other producers that are non-South African making beats that they've not like been happy with almost. Like I remember when Guilty Beats, Guilty Beats, who did Georgia Smith's All of This. I don't know if you've heard that one. They were rinsing him on like YouTube, like the comments in YouTube. They were just like, no, why is it so far? Because they're very keen on their Amapiano staying within 130 BPM.
Right.
And I don't know, in Europe, we like things a bit faster. So I've noticed with European producers, myself included, I speed mine up. I make mine at like 118.
Okay.
Just to give it that UK touch almost. And Guilty Beats, he's originally Ghanaian, but he's based in like Amsterdam and whatnot. Okay. And I mean, the tempo of his, he makes Afrobeat as well as like now Amapiano as well. But yeah, I remember seeing those comments and the, you know, the South Africans were just generally not happy with it being sped up, or they're like, oh, get this producer, basically quoting other South African producers to get on this and what have you. And funnily enough, I think a couple months later, like Georgia dropped a, there was a remix package that came out with all the South African producers doing their versions of the track with Georgia's instrumental. And personally, I felt like the original was better.
Yeah.
I felt like Guilty Beats did a really good job and his version was better than the actual, you know, heavy hitters of Amapiano doing their remixes.
So it's
a funny one.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? It's one of them things that I fully understand why they would be very clicky and protective, because of the culture vulture conversation. Like, it's very easy now. Like, I could literally, I know how to produce. I could whip up an Amapiano instrumental now. Not taken away from what they do, but it's seems like quite a simplistic genre if you strip back like the vocals and the melodic side, drum patterns and bass line. Like, I could do that right now. But then what am I adding to the genre? That's just benefiting me if I make that and it skies up. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like I understand why they would be very protective over it, but did you hear, have you heard Deneo's once? Because obviously like Deneo, when it comes to music, like, and Deneo's just he's just a magician, man. He's like a chameleon with this. He can just glide over all of this stuff. And his recent contributions have been Amapiano. And I think they're really good songs.
Yeah, I like them. I like what Deneo's done. I like what Super D's doing as well.
I haven't heard Super D's stuff.
Super D, he did, him and Mr. Taffer did the big one in 2020 that came. With Lush Kells, Kings and Queen.
Okay, and that's an Amapiano song. You know that one?
Yeah, UK, you dubbed as UK Amma as well. So it's almost like a subgenre we have here.
Is that where we are now? We've got UK Amma.
That's where we're at. Or Amma UK. I don't know what the official one is, but basically all us UK producers our productions are instantly, you know, UK AMA. It's basically sped up AMA piano.
Yeah.
So 118, okay. 119 BPM instead right. of the 113 that they normally do. So yeah, Super D's doing bits. Daneo, like you mentioned, a few other producers out there as well. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but yeah, I like that we're creating something ourselves, and hopefully that can help, you know, push the whole sound.
Yeah, yeah, globally. Elevate the whole thing.
Elevate it. Yeah, exactly. But then there's also this talk of another thing with the South Africans being protective is the Nigerians now, they've jumped on board. And they've created a subgenre, what they're calling Afro Piano.
Right, okay.
Afro beats, yeah. Typical Afro beat, but with that log drum bass line. Right. I don't know if you heard a few songs that have come out, like there's another, it's quite a big one at the moment with Joe Boy called Sip Alcohol.
Okay, yeah, no, I've not heard that one yet.
It's like a typical Afro beat, but when the chorus comes in, you just hear that bass line going off. Even one of Burna Boy's tracks called Question with Don Jazzy. Okay. I had an amapiano bass line going in there as well. And yeah. So there's all these little subgenres happening. But I mean, all in all, I think it's helping to elevate. I just hope there's not too much, you know, politics that comes from it all.
I think the important thing is quality control.
That's for it.
Me. And you see where UK Funky hit the wall?
Yeah.
Was everybody suddenly just got onto it. And it's like, although I wasn't involved in like the UK garage days, I wasn't into it, and I was never really listening to it like that. But my impression is that kind of MCs got onto the UK garage thing, and then there was just a lot of dead MCs in it and kind of just ran it into the ground. Yeah. And then that again was reflected in UK Funky.
Yeah.
You had stuff going on, like there was the obvious anthems, you know, Gracious K did an absolute mazza with Migraine Skank.
Yeah.
And even like KIG with Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes was just a bit fun. Even I can't stand it, but Funky D, Are You Gonna Bang? Do you know what I mean? Like it's so dead. It was a moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I feel like there were just, MCs started jumping on it. The quality control just went the floor.
It
was like suddenly everyone, it was just dead. And I think like that's the thing that needs to be protected. Not like who's making it and if people outside of South Africa are making it and subgenres are popping up, but like, are they making it well?
Yeah.
Are they sticking to like the core of what it is? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think is quite important for it to be protected.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel it is for now. I don't think I've heard that much nonsense amapiano, so to speak. To be fair, I don't like every single thing I hear from South Africa, let's say, because that's where the hub is and that's where all the new producers are coming from at the moment. There are a few outside of that I've come across anyway. but so far it seems to be the music that comes out outside of it seems to be pretty good stuff. So
let's hope
it stays that way.
It's interesting that some of the go-to songs are by South African producers, but featuring like West African artists, featuring Davido, featuring Burna Boy. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I guess that's probably what's helped it transcend from South Africa into the Afrobeat scene in West Africa.
Yeah.
And then in turn, let me pose it like this, actually. You know how typically like a lot of people go Ghana for December?
Yeah.
Do you think that's what's causing a surge in amapiano here now? Is it getting a lot of club play in Ghana and then people are coming back to the UK and they're kind of dragging it back with them? Like, this has to be played. Like, is that a thing?
That's exactly what's happening. Similar to how we would go to Inapa and the UK funky was ringing off and we'll bring it back here.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening with amapiano now, because there are quite a lot of big promoters in Ghana now that were, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Ghana were one of the first to start booking the amapiano DJs, producers.
Right, okay.
Outside of South Africa, it was Ghana that they were coming to and they were being flown out to and booked to perform at. And this recent resurgence of everyone going to Ghana, like, you know, it's become a massive sort of holiday destination now for December, especially.
Yeah.
They're all hearing it there and then they're bringing it back. So I think it's definitely helping.
Right. There you go. So that definitely actually, I'm making sense now of actually how it's kind of grown out here. But yeah, I was at a party last night, and there was amapiano definitely being played for, I don't know, 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
Mm.
And it felt like at first when it started getting played, it was everyone was happy. Like, yeah, amapiano is coming in now. Like, everyone was happy. There was a few of the bangers and the I don't want to call them the bait ones because I don't feel like they're bait, but a few of like the biggest songs or the most popular, actually, I'll just say the few of the most popular ones getting played. But I definitely feel after 20 minutes, the energy in the room wasn't, there was a few people still bubbling, but it wasn't consistently high. It was kind of like, okay, still amapiano. After 45 minutes, it was like, I think everybody's ready for a switch now.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And that goes, I think there's still, because of lack of content, I would say, lack of bangers. There needs to be more big tunes within the sound still. Yeah, it's still quite niche, like we said, still quite underground. I'll actually be interested because I've been thankfully booked to this Ministry of Sound event. It's the first time they're doing an amapiano event at Ministry on the 5th of March. So it'll be interesting to see the vibes and how long, people are engaged for with the music, because it's, Ministry is like, I think it kicks off from 11 to all the way till 6 a.m. So I want to see if people are still standing by like 4 or 5.
And that's a Saturday night as well.
Saturday night, yeah.
And that's just amapiano. Is that like a amapiano night, or is it like amapiano in the side room type thing, or is it really like
amapiano night? Yeah, that's so fantastic. They booked two South African DJs, DJ Mafarisa and Uncle Waffles, but the DJs are female.
She's the girl that went viral. Her clip went viral because she's just vibes behind the booth, isn't it? Like just having proper vibes.
Yeah, literally. And that's another thing with amapiano as well. It's the dancing, the dance moves that have come from it as well. It's a whole movement. It's a whole culture in a sense. Yeah. So it's DJ Mafarisa, Uncle Waffles, myself and Neptizzle.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes down. I mean, there was the AmaFest festival last summer that I was booked to perform at, and that went down really well, actually. That went down really well. They got quite a few of the producers again for that, and it went down proper. So it'd be really good to see how we'll be in Ministry.
It's fantastic for me that there's so much like big events for African music now as well. Like there's Afro Nation, there's what's the other one I saw? Yam Carnival, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I've never been to one of them yet, but like that's got a big lineup this year, and it seems like there's just, and now hearing about this, the fact that Ministry are doing a Saturday night, not even like you lot can have a Wednesday if you want, like do your little amapiano on a Wednesday, like we're doing the big Saturdays over here, like do your amapiano on a, that fact that it's a Saturday night, that is
Saturday.
That's amazing, man. I really do think that's a great thing.
I'm very intrigued to see how it goes down. Tickets seem to be selling well. I think I'm final release at the moment.
Sick.
So we'll see. In terms of
the sets, when there's multiple DJs and stuff, obviously let's talk about like hip hop, for example. If you're doing a hip hop or a dancehall party, you know, if there's a headliner booked, you know what songs to like avoid, and you know what songs they're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Now with amapiano, with the events, is it very much like, okay, so in house music, for example, the headliners, it seems to me, or in my experience, and this is very limited experience, so I'll just put that there. The headliners, if they're the producer of the song, obviously they're the ones that are going to play the song.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, they will come like with some mad exclusive version of their song that they've VIP'd that no one else has, just to switch it up a little bit. And their set isn't about the big bangers. It's about discovery, and it's about like, this one's hard and you've never heard it before. Boom, boom. And
that's
really celebrated in house music. In rap music, it's not. If I play a rap song that no one's heard in the club, they're leaving the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, okay, if the headliner's coming in rap, I'm staying off all the big ones. But how is it in amapiano? Is it like, if you're coming on, if you're on before Uncle Waffles, who is one of, I would say, like, am I right in saying she's one of the prominent names in Amapiano right now because of the social media impact that she's had as well?
Yeah.
But you're on, you're doing an hour before she comes on. What's your mindset? Like, are you going on the warm-up vibe and letting them have stuff that's the same, the correct sound, but they don't know, and then she hammers the bangers? Or is it the other way around? Are you playing the obvious one so everyone's vibey, and then she comes on and just shells off all the stuff that's fresh there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mix. I feel probably more swaying towards the side of leaving some of the bangers for her, because her whole thing is playing a well-known Amapiano track and dancing to it.
You know what I mean?
Someone like DJ Mafarisa will be, don't play any of his productions, period. Right. And he's got a bit of a catalogue now as well. So it would be, for me, if it was me playing just before, my thing is always to try and showcase my productions as well. I know no one else is going to be, chances are none of them are playing it. So I'll play my stuff mixed with maybe one or two well-known bits and bobs and just tracks that I enjoy, like that aren't as popular per se. So it's just the balance, really. Maybe having one or two, not keeping your set completely warm up or exclusive. But at the same time, you've got to, like, you know, you've got to entertain the audience a bit as well. So they've got to hear your track that they know in the mix, as it were.
Yeah. Is there much of a remix culture in Amapiano? I know there's a Georgia Smith song that I've got. I can't remember the name of it now either. And there's that Amaria song that was made into... Amapiano remix as well. Are these kind of remixes, are they doing bits in the scene, or is it kind of just like, are they just little segues into like the more commercial side, like bringing Amapiano into like friendly, you know, like commercial
zones? I think it's more of that, bringing it more commercial and making it more friendly and more knowable. So say playing that Amaray track in a club set, for example, which I've started doing just because people know the original. And then it's like, oh, okay, this is a different sound to it, this is cool, that sort of thing. I think it's starting, though, the remix culture in Amapiano, because more and more bits are getting remixed, not only the commercial stuff, but some of the, you know, the main Amapiano bangers as well. There are some remixes of those as well, or even I've heard some classic Afro house tracks that have been remixed Amapiano style as well, which is pretty cool. And I know Super D and Mr. Taff, for example, they remixed Essence.
Okay,
which sounds really good, actually.
I'm going to need you to email me that, please, bro.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that yet. So send me that, please.
I'll get that over to you. I think it took me ages to get that, actually. Super D was waiting because they wanted to release it officially.
Okay.
Through Wizkid's label and what have you, but it took forever. So I think they're releasing it white label starting now. So, I'll get that to you.
Sick. But that's a perfect example of like an access point song, like a segue into, okay, you know what? I want to play Amapiano tonight, but this lot might not be on it. Let me do this with it first, and then boom, like, they know the vocals, so they're singing it, and now suddenly there's a bass line behind it and you can then get into it properly like that. Like, I feel like that's a great idea.
So it's a growing sound, vibey sound, and it'd be just exciting to see what happens like in a year's time, 2 years time with it. As long as it's protected, as you said.
Keep
the quality control. I think it'll go far, man.
I don't know if it's because of the lack of social media at the time. I don't know if it's just like the circles and the parties that I was DJing in or whatever, but it really feels like now the English Africans are really embracing African musical culture. Do you know what I mean? And even down to the artists and stuff. If you look like when the Afro swing started coming, and like even like I always refer to Jay Huss as like one of the first, probably not the first, but one of the first that I was really aware he was doing this, he's making rap music, but it really does cross over into like an African influence.
Yeah,
rap music. Do you know what I mean? Okay, so like, did you see? It's not a reach to put something like, did you see? Or, okay, no, actually, let's say Darth Vader, for example.
Yeah.
it's not a stretch to put that in an Afrobeat set.
No.
It doesn't sound out of place. The drum pattern's there. The melody's there. He's kind of singing and rapping. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's like...
Yeah.
I think it's amazing to see the UK artists doing that and kind of bringing that side of the culture in.
Yeah. Yeah. Really big. Really big. Even them around that time, it was Kojo Funds as well.
Kojo as well, of course. Really
Yeah. The Afro swing movement is just... I mean, on that though, actually, how do you feel... What do you feel the scene is how do you feel it's at now with the Afro swing movement?
I think quality control was lost.
Mm.
I think there was a lot of quality control lost. And it kind of just became like a manufactured, like not manufactured, but it felt very forced. Suddenly everyone was trying to do that sound. So I feel like they lost a lot of quality control.
So do you feel it's not as prominent now?
Definitely not as prominent. The songs from that era definitely worked, but I feel like like the drill sound, for example, is way more popular in the clubs than...
Oh, yeah.
So put a drill song out now and put an Afro swing song out now, at least in where I'm playing, the drill song's going to be more popular than the Afro swing stuff.
Yeah. I'd say the only exception to that rule is everything that NSG seemed to put out.
Oh, that is an amazing... That is an absolutely amazing point. And how can I forget? And to be fair, they're actually making some of my favorite music at the moment.
Yeah. It's like they're, you know, they're certified hit makers. I don't think I know one crap NSG song.
No. And it's literally like Petite was one of my favorite songs from last year.
Yeah.
Like Only God Can Judge Me this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? Only God Can Judge Me, isn't it? What's it called? We've Missed.
Yeah, I think that's the name.
I'm pretty sure it is. Let me just double check.
I think it is. Yeah, I'm sure it's called that. Yeah.
Here we go. Fact checking. This is where, yeah, Only God Can Judge Me. That's what it's called. Like, like, amazing record, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But, okay, so I know you've got a rush, yeah? So,
yep.
Predictions for Amapiano in 2022. Is it gonna break through and become mainstream to the point where you would hear it in, like, an Oceania main room, or do you think is it going to kind of remain protected and underground and very niche, and there just be like a Amapiano scene, or is it going to cross over? Do you think?
depending on who jumps on the sound, it can definitely cross over this year. Otherwise, it will get to a peak. It'll get to a plateau and just sort of stay within the scene, I think.
Right.
But if enough artists jump on it this year, if there's more, if there's like another Wizkid burner, if there's more events like, you know, at Ministry of Sound happening, you know, Amapiano inspired events, and, you know, One Extra doing a lot with this Amapiano to Have Our House thing, which they've got me involved in.
Oh, okay. Silk's involved in that as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mr. Silk, not DJ Silk, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Silk. I know he's been very, very prominent in the Afro House sound for you.
Oh, yeah.
Probably over 10 years, I'd say. Like,
easy.
Maybe I've known him for 10 years, so maybe even longer than that. But I know he's been really, really pushing it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it depends. I think there's definitely potential for it to break through. It just needs the right artist. Just needs the right artist. Yeah, it will definitely take another rise. It just depends how far up it will go.
I think this summer is going to be a very, very big summer for Amapiano.
Yeah.
And then possibly by December, when everyone goes back to Ghana again, I think that definitely they're going to be two steps in the ladder.
Two
you know
steps.
What I mean?
100%. Exactly.
100%.
And we'll see where we're at in 2023, but I think there'll definitely be growth before then, whatever happens.
Exciting time. I just love discovering new music, man, and new sounds. You know what I mean? It's like there's only like I love all the music that I love, but when more music that I love turns up, I love it, bro. It's good times, man. Well, listen, I know you've got to run, and I don't want you to be doing 100 miles an hour on these streets using your license and things, bro.
You know.
obviously, we've got a lot of history in this game and we've done so much stuff. You are 100% coming back on where we're going to get like the DJ LaRizzle story as well. Because I know there's stories, bro. Don't even pretend that it's not. I know there's stories.
So there's stories, man.
Very, very soon going to get you back in and we're going to talk about DJ LaRizzle's journey. But yeah, no, I appreciate you jumping in today, man. It's exciting times for the genre. And I see you as one of like the leading DJs who's been really championing African music for a long time. So
Thank you, bro. Having you on
as my friend and as an African music specialist, it's like, that's two boxes ticked for me. So yeah, it's been sick, man. Thank you for coming on, brother. LaRizzle.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'll speak to you soon, my man.
All right, my bro. Take care.
Take it easy.
All right, bro. Take care.
So let's talk over podcast. DJ Double, my brother, DJ LaRizzle. Stylus is going to be back soon as well. Don't forget, hit us up on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts or Amazon Music or Amazon something. Anyway, it's over there. And this is so unprofessional. I should probably really learn what it's called. And Apple Podcasts. That's what that one's called. So there we are. Three different platforms for your head top. Make sure you check in. It's for the DJs, by the DJs. Biggest motherfucking DJ podcast on planet Earth. Thank you very much. I'm just going to put that out there. And yeah, tell a friend to tell a friend. If they're a DJ, make sure you check it out. Talk Over Podclart. And we're done. Peace. Oh yeah, don't forget about the socials. @TalkOverPod. Bye.